Today's speaker is Dr. Jeff Marcusi from CERTIF. Dr. Jeff Marcusi is currently the Executive Director of CERTIF and the Director of ESTCP. Prior to his current position, Dr. Marcusi served as a Program Manager for Environmental Technology in the Office of the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Environmental Security. He was the Principal Advisor to the Deputy Undersecretary on Environmental Technology Issues. Before joining DOD, he worked at the Institute for Defense Analyses, where he advised both DOD and NASA in the areas of remote sensing, environmental matters, and military surveillance. Dr. Marcusi has worked at Stanford University, the University of California, and the National Institute of Standards and Technology. He has a PhD from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Physical Chemistry. Before I do turn it over to Jeff, I just want to remind the phone participants, please put your phone on mute. If you don't have a mute button, you can hit *6 now and then #6 to unmute. Okay, at this time, I'll turn it over to Dr. Marcusi.
Thank you, Andrea. This is Jeff Marcusi here, and I'd like to take this time to give you some information both about our program CERTIF and a funding opportunity we recently released. What I'll be doing is give you briefly some background about the CERTIF program and then going through some details on the actual solicitation and how you might participate in it. The solicitation was released approximately a week and a half ago and is posted on our website. If you would go to the second chart now, as a number of you probably know, we manage two programs on environmental research and technology for the Department of Defense. One is CERTIF, the subject of today's call. The other one is the Environmental Security Technology Certification Program. Both programs fund researchers in university and industry on a competitive basis. The subject of today, though, will be the recently released CERTIF solicitation. If you move on to chart 3, a brief description of the CERTIF program. It's a unique program in the federal government. It's a partnership between the Department of Defense, the Department of Energy, and the Environmental Protection Agency. The funding comes through the Department of Defense, and that is where the solicitation has been released from. CERTIF is a science and technology program driven by environmental requirements of the Department of Defense. We invest in science and technology to try to advance our management of the environment. We put money into advanced technologies to try to address the near-term issues, but equally we fund fundamental research, basic and applied research, which will help us in the long term. Turning now to slide 4, this is just a broad layout of the two programs we manage for the Department of Defense here. CERTIF, as I've said already, funds work from basic and applied research to advanced development, while projects that involve demonstrations in the field are funded through its sister program, the Environmental Security Technology Certification Program. Moving to chart 5, I just want to give you very briefly a sense of the broad scope of our program and what drives it. We think of the environmental problems faced by the Department of Defense in two broad categories. The first one are those issues which we need to tackle to really maintain a sustainable infrastructure. That is to sustain our ranges and our facilities for now and for many years in the future. These issues are quite broad, as I'm sure many of you know. They range from endangered species to maritime sustainability, air quality and water quality issues, and increasingly we're focusing on the impact of climate change to try to maintain sustainable infrastructures. On chart 6, highlight the other broad driver which determines our investments. These are the traditional environmental liability issues, both ones due to past practices as well as preventing future liabilities. The Department of Defense still has a rather significant environmental liability due to past disposal of chemicals in the environment, and we continue to try to advance technologies to improve the cleanup of groundwater, soils, sediments, and the very significant issue of unexploded ordnance. Equally, though, we invest in future issues to prevent environmental problems in the decades to come. We invest in pollution prevention technologies aimed at trying to improve our ability to manufacture, maintain, and operate the weapon systems the Department of Defense has to meet its national security mission in an environmentally benign fashion. and this continues to be a significant part of our investment portfolio. Turning to Charge 7, let me give you a little insight into how we actually manage the program here, because this is how you would have to interface with us if you wish to seek funds. We manage the portfolio of investments we have in four focus areas. They're defined in this chart. They are weapon systems and platforms aimed at issues associated with the manufacturing, maintenance, and operations of military unique equipment. The area of munitions management, primarily focused on the current liability associated with cleaning up unexploded ordnance around this country. Environmental restoration, which deals with the more traditional environmental issues of contaminated soil, sediments, groundwater, and surface water. And the area of sustainable infrastructure, which looks to develop the science and technology needed to manage both the fixed as well as the natural infrastructure that exists on military installations. Turning now to Chart 8, just to give you a very top-line picture of the level of our program, our funding for this year and the next fiscal year is slightly less than $70 million. As you can see from this, the program is funded steadily in the out years, and we don't see any change in that in the near term. It's these resources which we have available to initiate new projects both in universities and industry in the coming years. Now let me turn in a little more detail, starting on Chart 9, the actual mechanics of our solicitations and how you could participate in them. As outlined on Chart 9, we have just issued two separate but related solicitations. The first one we call our core statements of need. These are reflected in 14 specific calls for proposals or statements of need. They are outlined in detail on our website, and I strongly encourage anyone who's interested in submitting a proposal to review those statements of need in detail and to do it very carefully. For every statement of need, we anticipate awarding multiple awards. This is not a process by which one project is going to be selected. We look for two types of proposals under the solicitation. The vast majority of proposals we seek will be for multi-year research projects, typically lasting 3 to 4 years. They will be funded if selected on an annual basis. But in addition to that, we offer people the opportunity to submit what we call a limited scope proposal against one of these core statements of need. A limited scope proposal must be restricted to $150,000 or less and approximately 1 year of duration. The purpose for allowing researchers to propose a limited scope proposal is so that they could gather the data which would allow them to lay out a more robust multi-year project in the future. Limited scope proposals should only be submitted if one is not able at present to lay out a realistic schedule and funding profile to do the multi-year project. That some initial 1 year of funding is required to get the basic data to determine how one would proceed. For these 14 statements of need, there are two ways for the two separate sets of organizations that proposals can be submitted. If you are from a university, industry, or any non-governmental organization, you should respond to our broad agency announcement. The broad agency announcement requires a pre-proposal be submitted, and I will go through the details of the schedule of that in a few charts. If you are from a federal agency, one of our sister agencies, Department of Energy, EPA, or any other federal agency, you can submit a full proposal directly to our office through your executive agent. There's a limitation on how many proposals can be submitted for multi-year proposals, but there are no restrictions to federal agencies for limited scope proposals. If you have not been involved previously and you are at a federal agency, I encourage you to look on our website to find the appropriate point of contact within your organization, which will tell you how to participate.
If I could interrupt, Jeff, there is one question on whether Canadian companies are eligible for funding.
Yes. In fact, companies from any place in the world may submit a proposal. We have funded proposals in the past from companies in Canada, universities in Canada, as well as companies and industries in Europe, and other parts of the world. The other solicitation, which was issued a little under 2 weeks ago, is what we call our seed solicitation. Under this solicitation, there are three seed statements of need. Seed solicitation is geared for subjects in which we are looking for innovative, high-risk research proposals. Proposals are restricted to $150,000 or less in approximately 1 year. Similar to our core solicitation, this is open to both federal agencies as well as industry and universities and non-governmental agencies. I will go through in a little more detail the schedules for those in the process in the coming charts. Let me now turn to the process for the core solicitation, which is shown on chart 10. As I said before, there are two types of organizations which may submit proposals. The private sector, which comes under the Broad Agency Announcement, or BAA, and the federal call for any other federal agency. Private sector organizations will be required to submit the pre-proposal, which we will conduct an internal review by the staff here. We will provide feedback as to whether we suggest or recommend not to submit a full proposal. Private sector organizations are required to submit a pre-proposal and be requested to submit a full proposal if they are going to be considered. Our federal sister agencies can submit full proposals through their points of contact directly to us, but as I said previously, there are restrictions on the numbers. As you can see in this chart, when full proposals finally come into our organization here, we send them out for a paper peer review. This is a standard technical peer review carried out by most federal funding agencies. Based on the results of that peer review, the proposals and the review comments are passed along to an organization called the Certified Technical Committees, or STCs. They are made up of federal employees who assist us in making selections and managing projects. They will take this information and make a recommendation for an investment portfolio for the coming fiscal year, upon which we in this office will make a selection. Those proposals selected will be required to go in front of our Science Advisory Board to present their project. Now, only multi-year projects will go in front of the Science Advisory Board. Proposals that are submitted, which are of limited scope, i.e., $150,000 and approximately 1 year, will not be required to present in front of our Science Advisory Board. If they have follow-on work in the future, that is, if their limited scope or seed proposal, in the case of a seed solicitation, leads to follow-on multi-year work, then they would present in front of the Science Advisory Board. So that is the process in which one has to go through to receive funding.
Jeff, we also have a couple of questions that I think are relevant here. The first one is, how do you combine a Fed and a non-Fed into one collaborative proposal?
We often have funded projects which involve both federal laboratories, universities, or industry, and it's a very common activity. There are two mechanisms that can happen. A private sector proposer may submit a proposal through the Broad Agency Announcement, which includes work to be done by a federal agency. We will, if we select that proposal and choose to award funds, we will separately fund your federal partner, and there's no financial action you need to take. The alternate mechanism, if the proposal is led by a federal agency, is for them to submit the proposal through the federal leads to our office. If we select the proposal in that case, the agency which has submitted the proposal will be responsible for contracting to the private sector entity, whether it's an industrial partner or a university.
Okay, next question is, can an individual submit a multi-year core proposal and a seed proposal on a different topic?
An individual can submit multiple proposals within the same SON if they so choose, and certainly against different SONs or a core and a seed. There are no restrictions.
And one last question, are there funding limitations on the core submittals or approximate funding ranges that would make the project more susceptible to approval?
There are no formal limitations. I will tell you, We evaluate the funding being requested as a function of what is the complexity and difficulty of the project being proposed. Having said that, to give you some general guidelines, most of the projects that we fund range from 2 to 5 years, with 3 and 4 years being the average. Funding levels vary quite a lot. They vary from rather small 150K per year projects to projects as large as $1 million a year. There are no set limits, though, as I said, but those are the typical numbers we see. Moving on now to Chart 11, which just gives you the solicitation dates for the core proposals. Again, this is the one that addresses 14 specific statements of need. As I said earlier, broad agency announcements, that is the one that universities and industry respond to, must submit a pre-proposal to us by January 8, 2009. There is no leeway on this, so I encourage you to make sure if you're interested in submitting a proposal to start early and make sure it gets here by that time. If we request a full proposal from you, that will be due March 12, 2009. We will be notifying you the first week in February as to our decision on the pre-proposal. For federal agencies wishing to submit a proposal, the full proposals are due at the same time as the private sector, March 12, 2009. You'll need to check with your own agency point of contact, and those are listed on our website, for any internal deadlines that your agency may have developed. Proposals will be notified in the July timeframe as to whether they have been selected for funding or not, and those required to present before our Science Advisory Board, again, those are the multi-year larger proposals, will be required to present in September or October of that year. Details on all these processes are on the website, and again, I encourage you to take a look at that. Turning to Chart 12, I wanted to be able to give you some sense of the competitive nature of the program and what past probabilities have been if you submit a proposal of it being awarded. This is data for our solicitation from last year, and it is typical, but it does vary year to year. As I've outlined in the previous charts, there's a different process for the private sector versus the federal sector. So let's just walk through this one at a time. The first row shows for projects submitted under our broad agency announcement, again, from universities or industry. 15% of the pre-proposals were eventually awarded under that solicitation. We do a rather strong down-select of the pre-proposal. That is, we will not request the full proposal if we do not believe it will be competitive. And that's reflected in the fact that 37% of full proposals submitted from the private sector led to an award. Proposals from our federal sector do not go through our internal pre-proposal down-select. Therefore, we do not see them until they get submitted as a full proposal. 19% last year were eventually awarded. So overall, 27% award rate is what you see in CERTA. I've listed down here other federal agencies, the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, National Science Foundation, and broken it out to some of the typical disciplines we deal with, just to give you a sense that the award rate, the probability of receiving an award in CERTA is quite similar to NSF areas and NIH. There are some differences, but I think they're not significant. Let me turn now in Chart 13 to the seed solicitation process. Again, to remind you, this is for three seed topics, and these are for one-year, $150,000 programs. Again, there are two ways to submit proposals, either the broad agency or a federal call. The seed solicitation process does not have a pre-proposal process. We request you directly submit the full proposals to us. There are no limitations on the number of full proposals an organization or an agency may submit. They come to our office for a staff review. We are looking for high-risk, innovative projects, one which often historically fare badly under traditional peer review. That is the reason why, under the seed solicitation, we do not undertake a traditional peer review. They are reviewed purely internally by our office, with the support of our federal partners in the Certified Technical Committee eventually to make a selection. As I said earlier, proposers who are awarded funding under the seed solicitation are not required to present in front of our science advisory board. The way the seed proposal works is if you are awarded 1 year of funding, you will be given the opportunity, if successful, to then submit a proposal for follow-on multi-year work. Turning to chart 14, just gives you the dates for submission. Recall that there is no pre-proposal, so both federal and private sector full proposals should be in our office by March 12th by 4 p.m. Again, there is no leeway in this date. Proposals received any time after that will not be reviewed or considered. Again, proposers will be notified as a decision in the July timeframe with funding the next fiscal year.
Before we move on to the next section, there are a couple of questions. First one, is teaming with a federal lab required, or does it significantly improve your chances of approval?
It is not required, and it is not put into a criteria or factor we evaluate. We fund predominantly multi-investigator research projects, given the complexity of topics we deal with, but not all the projects are that way. So I would recommend to anyone thinking of putting a team together, they select them purely based on the technical capabilities and what they add to the project, and not consider where they sit.
Next question, as a Latin American NGO, could we present a proposal?
Any organization can submit a proposal that we can legally contract to.
Next question, is it a requirement that the work is done in collaboration with the university? Can the project be executed entirely within the company?
Projects can be executed completely within an industrial or a corporate lab, or similarly completely within a university or within a federal agency. We have examples of many projects funded in the past that fit those categories. Let me just turn now to the FY10 statements of need. Before I just flip through these quickly, because I'm not going to go through any great detail, to say there is a couple of pages of detailed text on the web on each statement of need. Again, it would be a very poor decision to start to even think about writing a proposal without reading them in detail. They give you context for what we're looking for. They give you information in our view of what the critical problems are. On chart 16, it lists the four statements of need which have been released in the environmental restoration focus area. As again, you can see they cover a wide variety of topics. On the next chart, on chart 17, there are three statements of need in the core solicitation for sustainable infrastructure and one seed statement of need. Again, as I said earlier, some of these statements of need are quite broad, and we anticipate awarding multiple awards under the statement of need. In addition, we do not expect proposals to address every issue within the statement of need, and in fact, we encourage proposers to focus on a well-defined research program. Moving on to chart 18, lists the five core statements of need under our weapon systems and platform focus area. And in this focus area, we have one seed statement of need shown at the bottom of the page. On chart 19 are the statements of need in our munitions management area. There are two core statements of need. Both are quite broad, in dealing with multiple issues having to do with unexploded ordnance, as well as a seed statement of need. Again, if you really are interested in any of these statements of need, the first step to do is to read the detailed text that's on the web. Moving on to chart 20, I'll give you a little bit of information on how we actually evaluate and select projects. For the core statements of need, which there are 14, the first important issue is, have you actually addressed the statement of need? If the research proposal does not clearly address all or a portion of the statement of need, it will not be reviewed. The other thing we assess in this relevancy gate is this a research proposal. It may be a basic research, an applied research, or an advanced technology development. We fund work in all those categories. We do not fund implementation work under CERTA nor demonstration work. We will then evaluate the technical merit, which is the primary evaluation criteria, looking at the overall scientific and technical merit of the proposed work plan. We will assess the personnel to see if they have the qualifications to carry out the work. We will look at the cost to see if it's reasonable given the proposed work. We do not rank proposals from low cost to high cost. The cost evaluation is to make sure there's a match between the resources being requested and the technical complexity of the work. Finally, we will look at the transition plan as requested in the proposal. This may be a plan to future implementation or to potentially future development, depending on what state of research is being proposed. On chart 21 are the seed selection criteria. Again, we look at relevance. The proposal must address the statement of need. Again, we will look to see if it is a basic, applied, or advanced technology development. All those categories may be submitted for a seed solicitation. The primary evaluation criteria will be technical merit. There's a strong emphasis put on innovation. There should be a clearly defined technical issue that needs to be tackled and addressed in that 1 year of funding so that one can move on to make a decision on whether a multi-research proposal is possible. And that's what will be evaluated in the transition potential.
Jeff, I believe this question's already been touched on, but I think it bears repeating. The question is, as a university researcher, can I submit a pre-proposal responding to the BAA call, even if the proposed topic may not be directly related to seed or core topics?
All proposals have to be directly related to one of the statements of need. Proposals which are not responsive to those will not be reviewed at all.
Next question. What if you have an idea that could address multiple SONs? Should you pick one SON and go with it only?
I think for most of the SONs we've issued, that's unlikely to happen. If it is difficult for you to identify, we recommend that you just select one of the SONs, and in our review, we may direct you to a different one.
Next question. The BAA mentions approximately $8 million worth of funding available. Is this a total for all projects or a year-over-year funding level?
The value listed in the BAA is a legal requirement. I will tell you it has very little relevance to the actual amount awarded, which is always considerably higher than that. CERTA program is approximately a $70 million a year program. We have approximately a quarter of those funds available for first year funding of new projects. So one can do a calculation based on that and see how many projects will probably be funded. The bottom line is I don't think that $8 million gives you a lot of insight to the actual process.
Next question. This comes from a non-DOD federal agency. Do proposals need to have a DOD partner or collaborator?
No. Proposals do not need to have a DOD partner, collaborator, or site. They may be submitted from any federal agency through the federal process. And similarly, let me emphasize that universities or industry do not need or not directed at all to seek out a federal partner unless they are doing it for their own technical reasons. Turning now just to 22 to give you a very top-level sense of what are the issues which are really important to be successful in submitting solicitations. The number one is to clearly address the statement of need. I think we've made a good faith effort to be clear and precise in the type of research proposals we're looking for. So please consider those and don't try to work around them in any way. It's important to demonstrate an understanding of the state of the science so that the advancements you're proposing can be understood in that context. We encourage strongly that the work be hypothesis-driven, and the primary evaluation criteria is the technical approach. And so the bulk of the proposal should focus on that, giving as much detail as possible, and clearly defining the experimental design when appropriate.
One question, Jeff. One of the SONs dealt with intermittent streams in the Southwest. Would it be possible to propose a project for restoration of headwater and intermittent streams in the mid-Atlantic U.S. and Maryland?
Not under that SON this year. Those, that SON is restricted to regions in the Southwest. We are on chart 23, lists a symposium which is coming up in just 2 weeks here in Washington, D.C. If you're able to attend that, I strongly encourage it. It'll give you an opportunity to see a large segment of our currently funded research, to interface with other investigators we've funded in the past, as well as to hear more details about the solicitation process or to ask myself or any of my program managers questions. Finally, on chart 24 is our webpage. As I've said a number of times, information on the solicitation, both for private sector as well as federal folks, can be found there. I think it'll answer most of your questions, but if there are any additional questions, I'd be happy to take them now.
One question here, Jeff. Several SONs deal with on-base management issues. Should proposals on these SONs involve work on a base or bases?
For some proposals, particularly some of the issues which have called out that we're concerned with on-base issues, particularly in the Southwest, that can be an advantage. I will tell you, identifying the details of those at the pre-proposal stage is not critical, and that will be important, though, at the full proposal level.
Next question. On a dollar basis, what is the percentage of funding awarded to government versus non-government entities? Also, for non-government entities, what is the percentage of funding awarded to university versus non-university entities? Last year's statistics will be fine.
I don't have the statistics by dollar. I can give you rough numbers in terms of projects, which should be roughly correlated with that. And it varies year to year. I'd say typically about 60% of the awards go to non-federal leads. That is a combination of university and industry. And then in addition, between that university and industry split, it is probably 60% towards universities, maybe even a little higher. It varies year to year depending on the topics we've solicited for.
Next question. Please explain the process to go from a seed to a core proposal.
Okay. The seed solicitation, which there are three of this year, asks you to submit a proposal for approximately 1 year of work capped at $150,000. Those proposals should be structured to answer a critical technical issue whose, when the data is finally gathered, one can make a decision on how to proceed after that. On the completion of that 1 year of work, we will require a written report and an outbriefing to our office. We will evaluate that, and depending on the success of that 1 year, we will request or not request a follow-on multi-year proposal. The timing of that multi-year proposal is not restricted to our normal solicitation cycle, so that if the work takes 8 months or turns out to take 18 months, there can be a continuation of the research without a gap. Those proposals, if they're requested, will be evaluated through a peer review process, and if given appropriately high reviews, selected and requested to present in front of our science advisory board.
Next question. Can a core multi-year proposal be for only 2 years?
Yes. We have awarded many projects for only 2 years. They can, in principle, be 1 year. Most projects take more than 1 year to complete, though.
Next question, are matching funds required?
Matching funds are not required. In our assessments of the cost, when we review, the primary assessment is the reasonableness of the cost. We will, at that point, though, also evaluate if there are other resources being brought to the project. We view that very favorably, and that will improve the score. But it is not required.
Next, could you elaborate on the theme of hypothesis-driven work?
Surely. And I would say particularly for the research projects which fall more into the basic and applied research category, which we are driving to try to improve our science, we think it's important in laying out the project to define the questions or objectives clearly enough so that one can envision describing them as a hypothesis that such and such is taking place. I think in the case of our advanced technology development programs, that is much less important. There is clearly a desire to improve some piece of hardware, software, or equivalent system.
Next question. how would a DoD organization partner with Startup to possibly develop future year SONs to address restoration problems at a DoD site? And can site demonstration of technologies be funded by Startup or ESPCP projects?
The second question first. Demonstrations of environmental technologies are funded under our sister program, ESPCP. A solicitation will be issued for that in the January timeframe, and I'm happy to answer questions, details about that at that point. In terms of the first question, how do we develop our statements of need and how might other people participate in that? It's a multi-tier process. We have formal review committees, which have representatives from the services as well as other federal agencies, and I'm happy to provide points of contact in which information can be funneled for future suggestions. In addition, we hold workshops on different topics and participate in other agencies' workshops to try to develop what are the statements of need, which, if we can fund research, will advance the environmental management at the Department of Defense most effectively.
This is Andrea Leeson. I should also say we will hold another internet seminar in January, approximately January 15th, on the ESTCP program, if you'd like to call and participate in that program. Next question. The SONs in environmental restoration changed in a major way since last year. Is there a path to submit a revised proposal favorably reviewed last year but not funded?
Unfortunately, there is not a pathway for that. Our funding restrictions do not allow us to fund all the highly qualified and interesting research submitted to us. We have made our decisions for those last year's statements of need and will not return to those topics in the immediate future.
Next question, what are the expectations for number of team members on core proposals?
There are no expectations. I will tell you the variability we have. We have funded quite a few academic proposals, which consist of a single professor and his or her graduate students or postdocs. We have funded proposals which consisted of as much as six major industrial, academic, and federal laboratories. So it's quite a wide spectrum. I think it should fit the breadth of the topic that's being proposed again, as well as the complexity of the research being proposed.
Next question, is a breakdown of overhead charges required as part of the proposal process?
Under the pre-proposal, we ask for a very simple cost estimate. For full proposals, whether from a federal agency or from a private sector entity, we requested one, we will require a detailed budget breakup, which will include those factors.
There are currently no more questions online. If there are questions from folks on the phone, please feel free to ask them now. Okay, if there are no more questions, I would like to thank you for attending this seminar today.
Hey, may I jump in with a question? Or did I just put it on hold?
No, you're there. Go ahead.
Okay, wanted to check the limited core proposals still require a pre-proposal. Is that correct?
That's correct. We allow people to submit what are called limited scope, which I know people confuse with seed, because they do have some similarities, but they go through the core proposal process. A pre-proposal needs to be submitted. I will let you know that if we receive a pre-proposal in which we feel the proposer can today lay out a multi-year proposal, we will request that in the full proposal. If we agree that it's appropriate to first fund a one-year effort to gather the essential data, we'll request that in the full proposal.
Thank you very much.
Great.
I have two questions from online. Will the ESTCP VAA release have a completely different set of SONs?
They are different. They tend to be quite a bit broader in scope. Other than that, I think we'll have to wait on that discussion until the January timeframe.
Next question. Could you elaborate on the transition potential selection criteria? Give examples.
Transition potential criteria is one of the criteria under the seed solicitation. And the primary thing we are interested in is a well-defined endpoint for that one-year proposal. For example, if one is proposing a new technology, a new sensor development, or do some type of new hardware. But there's a fundamental subcomponent which one's not sure can even be created. That may be something that's going to be accomplished in the first year to lead to some follow-on. In research, it could be similarly. The question is there a well-defined question or information data gathering point after 1 year which will allow one to evaluate how we reduce the risk or the probability, increase the probability of success for a multi-year research effort that might follow it?
Next online question. How important is it to conduct the research on a military base and develop relationships with a military installation?
That varies very much by the statement of need. For many, and I would actually say most of the statements of need, it is not needed or requested. The research can be taking place in a laboratory, and if a laboratory can be any place, it doesn't need to be on a military installation. There are a number of the statements of need, particularly having to do with natural resource management issues, in which we are particularly concerned with those ecosystems or the condition of those ecosystems on military installations. The research does not have to take place on a military installation, but it does need to take place on a landscape which is representative of the type we have on our military installations. It can benefit from being on a military installation, and it can benefit from interaction with folks. We understand that can be difficult to set up, and after the pre-proposal stage, if we are interested in proposals, we will facilitate that if needed.
Okay, that concludes the online questions. Let me give one more opportunity to those people on the phone if they have any questions they'd like to ask now. If not, then I'd like to thank you for attending the seminar. As stated earlier, you'll find under the links to additional resources the link to the FY10 Certip solicitation, where you'll find all the detailed information for the solicitation. In addition, this audio and presentation will be archived for future reference. Associated with the links page is an online feedback form. We do encourage you to consider filling that out. And we do look at your comments as we continue to try to improve the content and delivery mechanisms for these seminars. There is one additional question that just says, can we submit additional questions in the future, and if so, to whom? Let me follow up that by saying that if you do have any other questions on the solicitation specifically or our program in general, please feel free to either email Dr. Marcusi or myself. Our emails are on the seminar website.
I would add to that, under each statement of need, which falls in one of our four focus areas, there's information on how to contact the program manager for that focus area if you have a question.
I think we're done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.